Hello and welcome to Feel Good with Jo, your Friday guide to leading a happy and healthy life. Each show, I interview an expert in an area of health and well-being to get their tips for managing our often busy and stressful lives. And as you know, every now and then I like to do things a bit differently, and today is one of those days. So I'm joined today by Catherine Evans, who's actually a genealogist, and we're talking about who you really are. So welcome, Catherine.
Hello.
So the first thing is, how did you get into studying family histories?
Well, it was about 9 years ago. My grandmother had passed away some years before. We didn't really know much about her mother and that side of the family. So I decided to take a look at that. And that's really how it all began.
Yeah, as these things often do with our own personal story. And so how did it become a business? How did it become something you were taking further?
Well, I spent 9 years researching my own family history, both sides of the family. I also looked into my husband's genealogy, and I also did some voluntary projects with other people, helping them to solve a few mysteries. And it was one day last year when I was out and about that I met somebody who wanted her Scottish history looking at. My mother-in-law had said some time before that I was really good at it and I should think about doing it professionally. So that's really how I got started.
Yeah, that fantastic moment when somebody just asks for something and that you go, yes, actually, I can do that. I think lots of us who change career, that's what happens, actually. Okay, so what sorts of things, what sort of projects might you work on then? Because, you know, we will all think of, I want to know where my family came from, right? But what other sorts of things might you work on?
Sometimes it's just something quite simple. It can be just a tree, just to go back a few generations. Sometimes clients already know quite a bit about their family history, but haven't put it together in a tree format. And sometimes there's a few bits and bobs that they need to also find out. Other times, people know absolutely nothing at all, or else one of the ancestors is a bit of a mysterious person. So it's a bit like being a Miss Marple.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I absolutely love that about the Who Do You Think You Are program that's on again at the moment, because, you know, you find these ancestors that for some reason we don't know anything about, and every family is going to have one of those. I mean, in my own family, it's one of my great uncles on the French side of my family who basically was a bit of a rogue and kind of got cut out of the family history. But he's fascinating because, you know, he moved to South America in the 1950s, and did he have a family there? Did he not have a family there? And actually, from where I am 50 years later, that's absolutely fascinating and far more interesting than the uncles who ran the department store in Lyon, you know? So I think it's quite romantic, actually. It's quite intriguing. And I wondered if you had favourite projects, you know, if you had things that you particularly love to work on.
I have actually been working for about 16, 17 months on one particular project. And that was quite interesting because the lady knew absolutely nothing about her great-grandfather. She gave me a copy of a sketch of this man in minister's uniform and knew nothing else about him. And once I set to work, I discovered that he was a Free Church minister who was quite charismatic, but he liked something of the party lifestyle and ended up bankrupt and fleeing Scotland.
Oh, wow.
And it turned out he became quite a famous journalist and poet out in Canada.
Wow.
So that was quite interesting. And then I also found out that her great-great-grandfather, she didn't really know what he did. It turned out that his family and himself had owned a department store in Aberdeen.
This must be like being, you know, a kid in a sweet store. just so much fun to do. And in a way, coming to the well-being theme, there's a part of me that's sort of thinking this must just be so good for your well-being to actually get to do this, because it sounds fascinating. But I wanted to ask about that, because it is a show about well-being. What have you seen when you've got to the point where you complete a project as much as can be done or was asked for, and you're handing over your results and you're taking somebody through the family tree you've been able to create for them? What do you see at that point?
Some people are just very elated, just really pleased to know more. Sometimes they see coincidences, some of the places. Oh, I used to go in that pub, or, oh, I know that area. So-and-so else in the family used to be in that area. Now I know why. And then one lady recently, I had a really nice email off one lady. I had researched her grandmother, and more of the true picture came as to what had happened and the kind of life she'd left. And it brought a great deal of closure to her and just peace at knowing what had happened, even though some of the stuff was quite upsetting and obviously tragic as well in certain incidences. It made her feel good that she actually knew at last exactly what had happened.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important point, because there is that sense of unfinished business that we can have when something's been left cloudy or secretive or just unknown, that even if it's not comfortable what we have to know, it is at least put to rest, you know, and you have that feeling of, okay, so I can leave this be now. It's been one of the most bonding times in my family when we went to my grandmother's funeral when she passed away a couple of years ago. And on the long train back from middle of nowhere in France, where my mother is from, Mum basically just spent a 7 or 8 hour train journey telling us stories that we had never known, and different stories about her mother. So, you know, I hadn't known that the first child that my grandmother had died as a child, and I knew that, but what I hadn't known was that my grandmother had actually got pregnant out of wedlock, that her mother had said, well, you know, this man that as the father isn't good enough for you, so we'll pass off the baby as mine, and then you'll be free to marry somebody appropriate to your station. And my grandmother wasn't having any of it and insisted on getting married, and then her mother blamed her when the child died. And it explained so much about how that relationship then went on to be between my grandparents. So I had really had that experience of, wow, okay, so this is why she stuck with it, partly why she stuck with it so much, because there was such an emotional loading on the beginning of their relationship. So very, very interesting. I know, because I've heard you talk about it in other places, that there are times when it's actually important to have some work on the family tree done. So, for example, maybe in the case of wills and probate.
Yes,
so
yes.
Talk to us a little bit about practicalities like that.
Right. Well, I used to work as a probate secretary at partner level. And the problem is, if you don't have a will and there's no heirs that can be found easily, they go on the bona vacantia list, which is the estate appears on a list published by the government of unclaimed estates. And companies like Air Hunters, for example, it's their job to try and track down rightful heirs to the estate. And in the course of my job, I often used to come across cases where there was no will, and it could be very complex. You had all kinds of arguments as well going on in between various family members, and we used to have to hire somebody to do a family tree so that we knew who was entitled to what.
Yes.
And that could be very, very complex. So that's why it's important to a certain degree to know something about your family history.
Yeah, absolutely. That's interesting. And it's fascinated me how many people don't have a will. And you know, lots of us don't have wills if we don't have children, because, you know, that's often the point at which people are thinking, okay, no, I need to make sure that this is done. And it really can cause havoc if it's not all clear. And in fact, even when you think it's clear, it's not always clear. So coming back to I just want to ask, out of curiosity, I guess, for a couple of examples of cases that you've been able to trace, and the, how you actually do it, you know, because what can somebody do for themselves, and when do they need help from a professional?
Well, people generally need help when they hit a brick wall. Sometimes ancestors all have the same names.
Right.
It can get very confusing when there's, for example, 30 John Smiths all living in a similar area.
Right.
So sometimes you have to work sideways and look at other ancestors to try and track down the correct John Smith. When you do genealogy, even if you're doing it as an amateur, you should always start from, say, yourself or your parents and work backwards.
Right.
That's the correct way of doing it. It's also the easiest way of doing it, because you're more likely to keep that link going, establish the link and then keep it going.
Yeah.
It can be much harder going backwards, forwards, because you can get lost a lot easier. So you basically start with whatever certificates you've got and whatever you know, and then write everything down, and then that's where you can start your research from. So, for example, you could go to the National Archives. You can register for free and use their computers, and also the Family History Centre. And there's not just online resources there. There's lots of books and other documents, microfilm, microfiche, etc. And obviously advice on hand to help you through. There's also the local records offices, so I use those as well. Because sometimes things aren't necessarily available, even though there's more stuff digitised than there was. It's not all been digitised.
Yeah.
I often find things out when I'm just Googling as well. It's surprising what resources come up.
Right.
A couple of times I've Googled and I've been led to Electric Scotland, for example, which is a resource, all kinds of interesting articles about Scotland, and I found some quite prudent information from doing that. And I've also been to the National Archives of Scotland as well. I went there recently with one of my clients. Records north of the border aren't necessarily available this side of the border. So sometimes people also have to be prepared to travel.
Yes.
Ireland as well is another example where people might have to travel. Not everything has been digitised. Some things are still with a parish priest.
Yeah.
And a lot of the records were destroyed in a fire in 1922 as well, when the trouble started.
Oh, no.
There was an explosion
in
the records office in Ireland.
Yes.
And a big fire. So that wiped out the 1851 to 1891 censuses.
So this is really where Miss Marple comes into play. And is putting her detective hat on. So I want to just finish with, we always ask our guests for their examples of how they manage their own well-being, actually. So I'm fascinated, because this, you see, this has got me. I did medieval history and English for my degree, so, you know, this is really right up my street. But I'm fascinated, Catherine, what you do for yourself, and then we'll wrap it up there.
Well, of course, I'm interested in social history. I always have been. I did a social science degree, so I enjoy reading and studying. I find that quite relaxing.
Yeah.
Some people might think it's a bit heavy to be reading a textbook on the train, but I actually quite enjoy it. But I also enjoy cookery.
Uh-huh.
I've been cooking most of my life, and walking as well.
Yeah.
And I did yoga for quite a few years, actually, as well. And I still do meditation.
Yeah.
So I like to spend time just thinking about spiritual things or being out in the environment.
Yeah.
It's another form of meditation. It gives you a chance to just clear your mind and just be at one with nature.
Well, and that's what we're always talking about here, is that it's not always one thing. It's the things that look after all the different parts of your being, you know, your mind and your emotions and your body and your sense of self, your spirit. So I've really enjoyed that, Catherine. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
And join me again for the next Feel Good with Jo in 2 weeks' time. Brooklyn's Radio.